Okay. So I'll just read out here the basic introduction. The Gra'in is, we're going through the Sefer Yonah inside, and everything based on the Pirush of the Gra, which is a very unique Pirush rule. We're going to see that he warns the entire Sefer as a mashal. Okay, we'll see exactly what the nature of the nimshal is. So let's just read his introduction. He has just a two-line introduction. Inyan ha-navi romez al nishmas ha-adam. Okay, so he's going to warn that Yonah ha-navi is a mashal to the neshama. Kamosh kazer b'zohar. V'inyano sheshocha el ha-olam hazeh v'takin es ha-olam. It's going to describe how the neshama is sent down into this world to make a tikkun, to fix up the world. V'lo dai shelo tikkun. But the neshama, not only does it not accomplish its tikkun, but it ruins the world. Kilkel et atma gamkin. Achar kach shaleach. There's something wrong with the gear series. Gilgal sheni litakin. Litakin v'tikin aval b'tsar al roa mazal k'moshen kazal kam. Okay, so that's the basic synopsis of what he's going to do here. He's going to explain how the Sefer Yonah is a mashal to the fact that the neshama comes down into this world to make a tikkun. If it doesn't accomplish that properly, then it has to come back again as a gilgul, and then in the second time around, it accomplishes the mission, but it has tsar because he describes it as a negative mazel from the fact that it needed to repeat its coming down into the world. Yeah.
Meaning
what
does not actually happen?
No, Mistama, it happened as a separate event, but it's also the fact that it's part of Kisei HaKodesh and recorded in this particular way is being Meramis to this end. Now, just a general introduction to the idea of Gilgulim. Okay, I get the impression that Gilgulim seems like kind of one of these like spooky things that like, is this really Judaism or is this not Judaism? Like, you know, do you believe in unicorns? Do you believe in Gilgulim? Like, one of these spooky things. So, Lamaisa, Gilgulim is very, very mainstream. Okay, even though it's not really discussed explicitly in the Torah's Nigla, it's discussed more in the Kabbalah Sfarim, but Lemaisa, for example, the Ramban is Mefarish Sefer Iyov based on the Yesod of Gilgulim. The Ramban says that was the real explanation why no one could understand why Iyov was suffering so much, even though he was a tzaddik at the time, was because it was being metakin, because he was a Gilgul being metakin for previous Gilgulim. Okay? I actually recently came across a fascinating thing where there's actually a Nafkamina Halacha that the Mishnah Berurah Paskins based on the Inyan of Gilgulim. Is that a good trivia question? Is that a halachic nafkamina that the Mishnah Berurah Paskins based on the concept of Gilgulim? Okay, it comes out, we're going to get to it soon, in Hilchos Tzitzis. Okay, there's an inyan of Loig LaRash, that you're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out in the presence of a mace because it's he who makes them feel bad that they can't be Mekai Mitzvahs. So the Mishnah Berurah brings that the inyan of Loig LaRash doesn't apply to a woman because she's not Mechuyav in tzitzis, but it does apply to a katan. Why does it apply to a katan if a katan is also pater from mitzvahs? He says because maybe it was a gilgul from a previous life that he was mechuyav in tzitzis. It seems that the Mishnah Berurah is assuming that a woman that you can't switch over, that you can't be a gilgul. A man, men and women stay the same in the gilgul. So it turns out that this is actually a very mainstream concept. The Ramban brings it. It's nogel la'alacha. And like we're about to see, the Gra learns that is the yesod of the entire mashal of Sefer Yonah. Yeah.
The Rebbe said that the person
who doesn't attack you,
or he doesn't
come to
the neshama, and he comes back as a
gogo,
but they only comes back once.
The Gra doesn't discuss it. Lamaisa, they talk about it as lavdavka, but it doesn't come up here. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to try just to read through the psukim, and as much as possible to try to fill in the pirush based on the Gra. Okay? Vayhi dvar Hashem, el Yonah ben Amitai Lemor. Okay, so the Dvar Hashem came to Yonah, the son of Amittai. Okay, so the Gra learns right away that Yonah is a mashal to the Neshama, and he gives a few explanations of how exactly Yonah is a mashal to the Neshama. Somebody can just help my father get a seat up here. Yeah, just send it over. Okay. This is all. Everything's grow. Everything's straight grow. Straight grow. Okay. So he says that Yonah is the mashal to the neshama. So he brings several ramazim of. Hi. Maybe just bring a chair over. Yeah. Okay. Here, there's one. You can come. Just bring the chair in over here. Okay. So, first of all, he brings a Gemara that says that Knesset Yisrael is Nimshal to a Yonah. The Gemara says that just like the Yonah, its wings are Megin, so too the mitzvos are Megin on Klal Yisrael. So you see already the... What? The mitzvos are making, protect Klal Yisrael from tzaros. Okay, so you see that the Gemara connects it to Knesset Yisrael. He says it's specifically the neshama, and he brings from a Zohar. He brings a few different ramazim, but the basic yesod seems to be that a Yonah is a very reliable. By Noach talk about that the Yonah was the trustworthy messenger, and it's a very loyal bird. So as far as the Sefer Yonah is concerned, is that the neshama follows its orders to come down into the world, even though it's a tsar for the neshama to come into the world, that it's loyal to Hashem's command that he sends the neshama down into the world. I'm sorry, I think we're going to try to do without questions, unless it's like really like something that's unclear, because I have no idea how long this is going to take. Let's just try to keep moving. Okay, so Yonah ben Amittai, so he says that the neshama is the son of Hashem. In other words, the goof comes from the parents, but the neshama comes from Hashem. So it's referred to as Ben Amittai because that is the ikar, the chotam, the seal of Hashem is emes. So it's referring to Hashem as the truthful one. As Amittai is the one who ki'ilu gives birth to, who creates the neshama. And he gives him lemor. Lemor is always something that's meant to be given over to others. So he gives Yonah instructions that he needs to give over to other people. Kum leich el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gedola. Go to Nineveh, the big city. V'kara aleha ki al sara salafanai. And call out to it because the catastrophe is going to befall it. Okay. Now Nineveh, he darshans, is a lashon of nave. Zekeli vanvehu is to make a nave, to build a base of Migdash and make a resting, a dwelling place for Hashem. So Hashem is telling Yonah that my dwelling place, the dwelling place of Hashem, is Olam Hazeh. And Hashem is giving Yonah instructions, make Olam Hazeh into a place that is roi for my dwelling. Be machzer people b'tshuva and make the world be mekabel malchus shemaim, so that the Nineveh, the world will become my dwelling place. Okay, so he also writes Lefanai that there's been a kilkel in the world, and Yonah is being sent on the mission to go down. The neshama has to go down and be metak in the world. Vayakam Yona, Librach Tarshisha. Okay? But the neshama goes off track. The neshama was supposed to come down to the goof to be metaking, and instead he runs away to Tarshish. Tarshish, the grub brings different psukim in Yechezkel, that Tarshish is the place where they mine gold. It was a place that was the place where all the precious metals came from. So he's going to Tarshish to chase after money and physical success. Milifnei Hashem, he runs away from Hashem's presence. The Gra points out that the lashon of doing tshuva is always going back to Hashem. That a person who is mekalkel, who doesn't fulfill his mission in the world, is going milifnei Hashem, is leaving Hashem's presence and going towards Tarshisha. And tshuva is the process of going back and connecting to the source, which is Hashem. Vayered Yafo. Okay, so in order to get to Tarshish, which is where the money is, right? First he goes to Yafo, he says, which is a lashon of Yofi, is a lashon of beauty, and the Gra emphasizes that it's specifically a lashon, a term used for physical beauty in a negative sense. He brings the term that the Ashes Yafas Toar, right? The Yafas Toar is the physical attraction to this foreign lady, right? So that's the Yofi. So Yonah is going after Yofi and wealth, right? And that's it distracting him from his mission that the neshama is in this world to accomplish. Vayimtza Oniya, and he finds a boat. Ba Tarshish, which is going to Tarshish. Vayitin Schara. Okay, I guess we'll do it phrase by phrase because there's a lot packed in here, okay? So he says, the Oniya, the boat, is the mashal to the goof. Okay? The goof is like the boat that the neshama travels in. Okay, and we're going to talk about the yam is the mashal to olam hazeh, and the yavash is the mashal to olam hav. Okay, this you've already seen it probably in Mesillas Yesharim, right? The Mesillas Yesharim brings that Chazal always bring a mashal that the olam hazeh is like a yam, and olam hava is like the yavash, and the idea is that the yam is not the goal. Nobody has the goal of just living on a yam, right? Unless you have a houseboat, right? Like, you don't live on the yam. The yam is a place where you go, you travel in order to get to the place where you're trying to get to. So, Olam Hazeh is a place where you have to travel through to accomplish what needs to be accomplished to get to Olam Haba. But the goal is to get to Olam Haba, and we're supposed to be using the time on the boat, so to speak, on the yam, to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Okay, so that's the Oniya, is the physical goof, is what enables the neshama to travel through Olam Hazeh while trying to accomplish the mission that Hashem gave the neshama to accomplish. Okay, so that's he goes to the Oniya and he says Ve'im Oniya Ba Tarshish, which is going for the gold, right? Going for the success in Olam Hazeh. Vayitein Tzar. Okay, now here's a fascinating idea. He says that the neshama pays the schar for the goof. In other words, what happens is that the neshama gets so diverted from its mission, which is supposed to be to be mitaken the goof, that the neshama becomes like the intermediary to bring more pleasure to the goof. Right? He's giving the schar of the goof. The neshama is going out and trying to help the goof get all the pleasure of Olam Hazeh that it can get. Okay, now what exactly that means that the neshama itself is connected to the chait, to the taivas of Olam Hazeh. So the simple pshat he says is it means the seichel. In other words, that he's taking the seichel, which is the seichel, the wisdom, the knowledge, is supposed to be the realm of the neshama of creating the tikkun, and he's using that ingenuity to come up with ways of getting more and more taiva of Olam Hazeh and giving the goof everything that it desires. Okay, there seems to also be a further yisod that sometimes the neshama itself can actually get like drawn into the tie was Olam Hazeh. In other words, the neshama itself gets a kilgul, where even though the nature of the neshama is to strive for ruchnius, like you see in Mesillas Yesharim, he emphasizes that in the mashal of the Eroni, the mashal of the villager who goes and marries the Bas Melech, that the neshama gets no nachas ruach, it doesn't get any joy, pleasure from Olam Hazeh. That's when the neshama is focused on what it's meant to be accomplishing. But the neshama can kind of get co-opted into helping the goof in success in Olam Hazeh. So a person who gets like very motivated to be the best, you know, basketball player, the best, you know, movie star, whatever it is, that could be a neshama yearning for greatness, but it's getting warped by the taivas of Olam Hazeh are throwing it off track and using the kochos of the neshama in the wrong direction. Okay, so the neshama goes into the oniyah and it pays the wages of the boat to give it all the anaz of Olam Hazeh. Vayered ba lavo imam tarshisha milifnei Hashem. And again, the whole kivun of Yonah is that the neshama is running away from its connection to Hashem and getting caught up in all the taivas of Olam Hazeh. Vashem hitil ruach gedola elayam. Okay, now it's a little tricky because we're so used to reading the story as a story. Okay, so but when we're reading it as a mashal, right? There is no boat. There are no waves. That's not right. In the mashal, we have to always translate things into what's really going on. Okay, so in the mashal it says that there are waves that are coming that are shaking the boat. Ruach gedola elayam. And the boat thought to break. So so this means the suffering of Olam Hazeh. In other words, he's now getting punished for wasting his life. Right, the neshama wasted its life chasing after taivas of Olam Hazeh, and now the sorrows are starting to come. Now he's starting to be punished for the averas that he did. Okay, and the goof feels like it's breaking down. In other words, he's sick. In other words, right now, in the nimshal, he's now on his sick bed, you know, writhing in sar from the suffering of the machlas that he's getting as a punishment for his averas. Right? That's what's going on in the nimshal. It's interesting that Gra actually points out. He says that this lashon chishvali hishaver, it thought to break, he says, doesn't actually fit very well for a boat. That when you talk about a boat doesn't think about breaking. It just breaks. It doesn't think about it. So the Gra actually points out here that here the Torah is actually being merames to the fact that the whole thing is meant to be a mashal. In other words, here's one place where Ki'ilu revealed a little bit of what's going on behind the scenes, that we're really talking about not a boat, but about the person who he feels like his goof is breaking down from the tsar of the suffering that's coming on him. Vayiru ha-malachim vayizaku. So the malachim is the sailors. The sailors on the ship became afraid that they saw the boat breaking down, and they called out, Ish el Elohav vayatil asakelim. So before we do vayatil, okay. So the different. So the sailors on the boat now started to cry out to their gods. So what is this in the nimshal? He says that the sailors are the different limbs and the different organs of the person. The wave and the kaved, which are more than just physical organs, we attribute different emotions and things to the different organs of the physical body. So the physical body now is starting to realize that it's in danger, and it's trying to find solutions. So they turn to their gods. What does it mean to turn to their gods? The Gra says that they think that they can, that their money is going to save them. That they've been worshiping money their whole life. So they think that if I pay the best doctor, if I buy the best medicines, then I'm going to get better. And they don't realize that Gzeira Min HaShemayim, that all the money that they spend on it, it's not going to help them. All their money is turning out to be useless. The thing that they've worshipped their whole life, that they thought was so powerful, when it comes to an illness, that their physical body is deteriorating, they're helpless against this. Vayatilu as a kelim asher baniyah. They started throwing the vessels overboard. Elayam lahakel me'aleim. Okay, now here this is fascinating. The Brass says here that they started to give tzedaka. That Yonah when the goof is suffering and he realizes that there's a gzeira and there's nothing he can do about it. So now all of a sudden at the last minute he starts to give tzedaka, thinking that maybe he'll be able to be mechaper and get out of the gzeira that's against him. The Yonah yarad el yarkasei asvina vayishka v'iradim, and Yonah went to the bottom of the boat and lied down and fell asleep. So he says that this is when the body, when a person is like a ghost, that the body is so racked with pain and suffering, and he's about to die, that the neshama goes to the bottom of the goof. In other words, the neshama like loses its vitality. And we're going to see this, he's going to point this out more explicitly later, that a person sometimes thinks that I can wait until the last minute and then I'll do tshuva. That when I'll enjoy myself and take it easy during my life, and then at the last minute I'll do tshuva. But what he doesn't realize is that at that, when the time comes, he doesn't have the koach. His neshama is already drained. He doesn't have the emotional energy to awaken the neshama to do tshuva. That the neshama is already like sedated, and it's too late for him to have a real awakening. Vayikarev elav Rav HaChovel. So the head of the boat, the captain of the ship, which the Gra says is referring to the lave. So now his heart starts to be sam lave, to focus on the situation. Vayomer lo malucha nirdam. So he says to the neshama, the lave says to the neshama, why are you neshama giving up? Why are you giving up hope? Why are you so passive? Kum kra el. Elokecha, daven to your God. Ulai is ashid halokim lanu v'lo noved. Maybe Hashem will be soleachas and we won't be destroyed. So in other words, the goof now realizes that it's in danger, and therefore it turns to the neshama and says, "Go do tshuva, and maybe we can get this gzeira rescinded." So now he starts the person who's sick on his deathbed starts to be mefashbesh b'maisav. He says, try to figure out whose fault is it. In other words, the person is trying to figure out which limb or which organ caused this chait. Was it because of lashon hara? Was it because of, you know, my hand hitting someone, my legs running to a base of Odizar, right? Which limb is responsible for the Gzar Din? That's the introspection that's going on here. And the Goral falls on Yonah, and they say, no, this is much more serious than any of that. The person realizes that his whole neshama was mekalkel. That not just his goof was off, but the whole neshama had been drawn after the Taivas of Omaza. He had actually been mekalkel the neshama, and ad kidei kach, that now there's no tikkun for this. That the gzeira is finished. That he can't be chozer b'tshuva. The yomru elav hagida na lanu ba'asher l'mi arazos lanu ma mulach decha u'me ayin tavo ma artzecha ve'eza ve'emiza amata. So they asked him all these questions. What do you do? Where are you from? What nation? So the Gra explains all of these questions are all describing what was the neshama's original mission in life. In other words, now he's trying to think, well, what was I supposed to have been doing with my life? And what was your job? What was the tikkun that you were sent down here to this world to accomplish? Where do you come from? Right? What is the shoresh of your neshama? Vayomer elam ivri anochi. I'm a Jew, right, from the Lashon of Eivar Anaran, from the other side, meaning the neshama is from a completely different realm. I belong in the realm of Shemayim. I don't belong in this realm of the physical goof. I'm completely out of place. V'as Hashem Elokei Shemayim Mitzrayim, Ani Yarei, Asher Asa Asayam Vasayabasha. That really Hashem made Olam Hazeh, and He made Olam Haba, and He sent me here with a mission that I was supposed to be Metakin, and I messed up my mission. Vayiru Anashim Yira Gedola, Vayomru Elav, Mazuz Asita. Okay, so now the guy is on his deathbed, and all of a sudden he becomes in touch with reality, and all of a sudden he realizes that my whole life, my neshama has been running away from Hashem. He realizes now that his whole life has been an exercise in trying to chase after all the physical pleasures and all the success in Olam Hazeh, and I've been trying to run away from the mission that Hashem sent me into this world to be metaking His world. So the goof now wants it to be over. The goof is suffering so much. It says, you know what? I just want to end this. I don't want to have all the suffering. That once the neshama leaves, once the goof dies, the goof just goes in the ground and it's peaceful and it's finished. So the goof is ready to give up. So he says, I know that it's all to punish me, the neshama, and the goof is going to be fine once I leave, so throw me overboard. Now, it's not entirely clear, but it sounds from the grill like these mamish considering like euthanasia, like committing suicide. In other words, the goof doesn't want to suffer anymore. It wants to bring an early end that the neshama should leave it already. This person now on his deathbed is trying to do tshuva. He's trying to get to the yabasha, which is olam haba. He's trying to be metaking what he messed up his whole life, but it's too late. He can't do it. Ki hayam hoich v'soar lehem, because the yam is too wild for them to be able to get to land. Okay, so the Gra says very clearly. He says that he got to a point where the gzar din was nigzar alav, and there's no tikkun left for Yonah. Okay, just if you want a preview, what's going to end up happening is that the tshuva that he's doing at the end of his life is going to help him to have the schus to come back as a gilgal. Okay, so it puts it in a little bit of a perspective that he thought that he could wait until the last minute to do tshuva, but he didn't realize that he wouldn't have the koach after the gzar din was already nigzar. It's too late, and he doesn't have the spiritual koach in the neshama to still do tshuva. But the little bit of tikkun that he does, giving tzedakah and trying to do tshuva in the last moments of his life, at least is going to serve him in the end. That he's zocha to tikkun al yidei through a gilgal.
Rabbi Yonah didn't start throwing the camel over.
That's okay. To check exactly how each section fits the mashal. Okay, but there could be higher levels within the goof. There's the nefesh of the goof. It could be that already was sensitive to some of this. Vayigru al Hashem, vayumru an Hashem al na na'avda b'nefesh ha'isha zeh v'al titeilin olinu dam naki ki ata Hashem kasher chavaz nazisa. Okay, so now the goof is saying, don't hold us accountable for this because this was your gzera. I don't see it entirely clearly in the grub, but it seems that the goof is actually trying to bring life to an end, and they're doubting that we shouldn't be punished for the fact, we meaning the different organs of the different chalakim of the goof, shouldn't be punished for choosing to end life early. And that finished the anger in the yam. And the Gra points out that the different divrei Chazal also fit in with the Nimshal. He says that the fact that Chazal say that the whole Sa'ara was only around this one particular boat, it wasn't the entire Yam, he says that fits in, that it was a Gzeira against Yonah in particular, it wasn't a Gzeira against the world in general. Okay, and now once the goof is now separated from the Neshama, now the goof is at rest. Yizbuchu Zevach Hashem V'Yidru Nedarim. Okay, they now had great fear and they gave korbanos and made vows. Okay, now how does that fit into the Nimshal? He says an amazing thing. He says that this is the idea that Chazal say that when a person dies, that it the death itself is a kapara, and they even compare it that it's like offering a korban. So when a person dies, it's like he brought a korban, and there was an aspect of kapara that he got from the misa itself. Okay, second parak. Vayamin Hashem dag gadol livro as Yonah. Okay, so that's it. Right, story's over. He's dead. He died. Right. In the nimshal, the guy suffered. Now he's dead. So now what happens? Now a dog comes and swallows him up. And this the gross explains is the mashal of the kever. So now he's in the kever. Vayi Yonah b'me'e hadag shlosha yamim v'shlosha leilos. He spends 3 days. The neshama we're talking about, Yonah, the neshama, spends 3 days in the kever. Okay, why? The Gra explains that the neshama feels connected to the guf, and therefore, when a person dies, the neshama remains in the proximity of the guf for 3 days. The neshama isn't ready to separate from the guf yet and go up to Shemayim, because it still feels this connection. And from what I understand, that's also part of the tsar. In other words, a person who was so connected to the physical aspects of this world has a greater tsar when he has to eventually separate from the group. Whereas a person whose neshama was really living in the world of neshama, even in this world, that separation is a much more natural and comfortable experience for the person. Okay, so that's Yonah who has spent his whole life only focusing on the group and trying to bring Hana to the goof. So now that he's dead, the neshama can't bring itself to separate, and he remains hovering around the goof for 3 days. The Gra says until the goof starts to deteriorate, and then the neshama realizes that he's finished with the goof, and he has to move on.
How does that work? How does that work? Understand that we have the neshama leaves the goof, and that is what causes the death itself.
Right. It leaves the goof, but then it like hovers around the goof. It stays in the vicinity. It doesn't go up to Shemayim yet. Vayispalel Yonah El Hashem Elokav Mimea Adaga. So now the neshama starts to daven to Hashem. Okay, I'll do the best I can here. The Gra is a little bit difficult on these psukim. Okay, Vayomer Karasi Mitzara Li Kel Hashem Vayaneni Mibetin Shaol Shavasi Shamata Koli. Okay, so he says that I called out from the tsara, and Hashem answered me, and he took me out of the depths of Sheol, of Gehenna. Okay, one second, let me just keep the notes open in front of me so I can refer back to this. One second. Okay, so one second. I'm just going to read through a few psukim at once. I'm not going to divide it up as much by section by section. I'll just give you the general idea of this grouping. Okay, so it says Batish Tashlicheni Mitzua Bileva Yamim Vinar Yisovveni Kol Mishparecha the Galacha Alayavaru. So it describes all the suffering that I was in the depths of the sea, and the waves crashed over me, and all the suffering that I went through. Okay. So he's describing now not the suffering when he was alive. He's describing now the suffering in Gehenna. Okay. In other words, after the 3 days, he's now starting to suffer the sorrows in Gehenna for the averas that he did. Okay. What? What'd you say? Yeah, we'll see. It says, "Vani amarti nigrashti minegedei necha." This is the turning point in the Navi. He says, I thought to myself, Nigrashti, I was sent away, like a Lashon of Gerushin, I believe, from your presence. Ach osif labid al echal kashav, but I will still have another opportunity to come close to Hashem. So the Gra explains that Dafka, when he suffered in Gehenna, he had a nechama that he realized that he still was ravi for a tikkun. He said the worst thing that could happen to a person is just to be in complete limbo. He said that a Rasha Gamor who has no tikkun doesn't suffer in Gehenna. He's just left. His life is finished. That's it. End of last stop. Everybody off. Right. He says when he realized that he was suffering in Gehenna, that he realized now that he was still ravi for a tikkun, that Hashem was causing the suffering in order that he should be mizakeh himself, that he should be roi to have an opportunity again to come close to Hashem. Afafuni mayim ad nafesh tohom yisov meni suf chavush l'roshi. Okay, describing is he was in the depths of the suffering. The Gra brings different ramazim when it says tohom here. He brings different ramazim that, as I'll say, that tov avov v'choshech al pnei tohom in Brachus is a remez to four different aspects of Gehenna. There's four different suffering that a person goes through in Gehenna. Connected those four things, and he brings different ramazim in the psukim to that. But we're not going to get into the details of that. Kitzve harim yaradati haaretz brachev v'adi lo'olam v'tal mishachas chayai Hashem Elokai. It's all describing the suffering of Gehenna, not pleasant, whatever it is, the different chilukim of how that goes. Bisateva lai nafshi es Hashem zacharti v'tevoi lecha tfilasi el'echal kachach. Okay, so now from the depths of Gehenna, so now he finally reaches his tikkun, and now Hashem is willing to hear his tfilah, and now bring him back into Hashem's presence. Mishamri Havli Shav Chasadam Yazovu. One second. Yeah, okay. So he says, just one second. I'm sorry. Okay, one second. I'm sorry. One second. So he says like this. Okay, in this pasuk, "Bisateva lai nafshi es Hashem zacharti." Okay, so here he says that this is talking about the tshuva that he did before he died. I'm sorry. Okay, it's a minor tikkun. Okay, what he's saying is that when I was trying to do tshuva at the last minute, when after the gzeira was already nigzar, now I see that you really accepted those tefillahs. That even though the gzeira wasn't rescinded and he did end up dying, that it still helped. That's what enabled me to have a tikkun through Gehenna. Then now I can come back and be connected with Hashem. Okay. Then it says, "Vani bekol toda es b'chalucha asher nadarti ashalema Yeshua sa l'Hashem." Okay. So he says that the things that I was nadarti, that I made nadarin, meaning that was the tzedakah that he did at the end of his life. So those things that he did, those are what brought the Yeshua. Those are what saved him. So it's a fascinating perspective that here a person, you know, he's on his deathbed, he's giving tzedakah, he's trying to do tshuva, and then he dies. So people look and they say, "Oh, what was it worth?" Right? All that, you know, tshuva and all that earnestness at the end, and it didn't do him any good. But the answer is no. Adarabba. That's what saved him. That he still has a tikkun. If it wasn't for that, he would be lost completely. Okay. Vayomer Hashem l'dag, vayakias Yonah el ayabasha. Okay. So now he gets spit out on the Abasha. Now, following the mashal, then the Abasha is Olam Haba. So that was it. Yonah made it to Olam Haba. Okay, so far so good. Kilo, right? Okay, he made it through the suffering in Gehenna, but there was enough of a tikkun that he eventually made related to Olam Haba. But the story's not over yet. Okay? Because of all, everything that he went through in his life, he still hadn't reached Shleimus. Vayihi Dvar Hashem El Yona Sheinis Lemor. And now Hashem appears to Yona a second time and is, oh, one second, it's not over yet. Right? Now it's time to start over again. Right? Now you have to go back down into Olam Haza and you have to fulfill the original mission that was assigned to you originally. What? He got it for a second. He had a taste of Olam Haba, but he hadn't accomplished the tikkun that he was meant to accomplish. So now Hashem sends him back. He says, okay, now get to work. Okay? Kum leich el Nineveh, ha'ir ha'gdola. Now you have to go back to Nineveh, back to my Nineveh, my dwelling place in Olam Haza. The same kriya, the same instructions I gave you initially, you didn't accomplish the mission that I gave you. Now you have to go and do it again. Okay, now we get into some very interesting Yamim Noraim Ramazim. Okay, so he comes now back to Olam Haza to be Machzir, the world, Betshuva. Okay, so now he goes to Nineveh and he finds that it's a place of Mahalach Shloshah Irgidola Lelokim Mahalach Shloshah Yom. So it's a city which is Shayach to Elokim to Hashem 3 days a year. Okay, so this, the Gra says, is describing, nowadays it's down to a 2 day a year Jew, right? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So in the times of Yonah, apparently also Rosh Chodesh Elul was a day that people were over to Tshuva. He says that the Hamon Am, 3 days a year, they were focused on their Avodas Hashem, Rosh Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Vayachel Yona Lavo Beir Mahalch Yom Echad. So he went the first day, meaning the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, he starts to try to be machzir then b'tshuva. Vayikra Vayomer Od Arbaim Yom V'nim V'nefeches. We have now how many days to do tshuva? 40 days, right? It's Rosh Chodesh Elul, so now we have 40 days until Yom Kippur to do tshuva. Vayamin what? It's not clear. It's the Neshama came back. It seems like it's more than just himself. He's being metakin. It sounds like he's being mocked the world in general. In other words, he's accomplishing his original goal. His original goal was to go down to the Neveh to make the world a dwelling place for Hashem. Okay, so his mission was to be mocked to other people of the tshuva, not only himself. Okay, so that's what he's going back to do. So it says, so they have 40 days to do this until Yom Kippur. The Aminu Anshe Nineveh Belokim, the Yikru Tzom, the Yilbushu Sakim, Migdolam Vaad Kadnam. So all of the people then are listening to Yonah and doing tshuva, from the great ones to the small ones. Vayaga Adavar El Melech Nineveh, Vayaka Mikiso, Vayavar Adarto Mealav, Vayichas Sak Vayishab El Afar. So the Gra is very marif, the Dabka, the king, because he has so much kavod and so much power, that for him it's the hardest to do tshuva. So it's being mishabeach that even the powerful people, even the people who were bali gaivi, even they were able to hear the call of tshuva and be mashpil themselves. He took off his aderis, is like some kind of a royal wrapping to show that he's belittling himself. He's taking away the gaiva and being able to be machni himself to Hashem. Okay, so it says, "Vayizak vayomer b'ninve mitam haMelech." Okay, here the Gra says that just like in Megillas Esther, that haMelech Stam is a reference to Hashem. So in other words, it's being declared in Hashem's name. haMelech v'gdolav, he says, is this Sanhedrin who declare the Chodesh in order to be Mekadesh the Chodesh for Rosh Hashanah to be Koveh. When Rosh Hashanah falls out, is dependent on the Beis Din. So he says that it's Hashem together with the Gedolah, the great people, the Sanhedrin, who declare the calendar for Rosh Hashanah. Lemor ha'adam va'behema va'bakar va'tzon al Yitamu Meuma Al Yuru Umayim Al Yishtu. Okay, so here he says in the Nimshal that it's not referring to actual behemoths, that it's referring to the different levels of people, the people who live their lives like a real proper Adam, and even the people who live like a behemoth. And then he divides it up, that the Bakar is a behemoth, Gasa is the behemoths that are the most willful and opposing the Dvar Hashem, and the Tzon is the sheep who just kind of go along with the flock. They just do whatever everyone's doing. If everyone's doing Averas, they go along and do Averas. If the people are doing Tshuva, then they just follow along. They follow the leader who's guiding them in whichever direction. Okay, so the Gra explains that all of the different levels of people, whether they were already Tzaddikim, or whether they were Rishayim, or whether they were just people who needed guidance, that they're all joining in this Tshuva, that Yonah was Ma'orer, the Tzibur to do Tshuva. Kazu sakim ha'adam va'behema v'yikru elokim v'chazaka v'yeshvu ish midarko ara u'minachamas asher v'kapeyem. Okay, he brings also an interesting remez. He says that they were all chozer from all of their bad deeds, and specifically it emphasizes hachamas asher v'kapeyem, the things that they had stolen. Okay, so he brings that this is also a remez that Yom Kippur is not mechaper for averes ben adam l'chavera until you're meratzeh your friend. So he says that any averes that they did, that they had taken something unfairly, they had to return it first before their tshuva could be accepted on Yom Kippur. Mi yodea yashuv minicham ha'elokim v'shav micharon apo v'lo nevat. Okay, so everyone did tshuva, and therefore the charon af was rescinded, and they weren't destroyed. They got a good gzar din on Yom Kippur. Vayar Elokim as maaseim kishavu midarkam harav inachem Elokim al harash adibur laasosvam v'loas. Okay, so their tshuva was accepted. They had a gzar din of kapara on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that's the end of the parak. So now we're not done discussing Yonah and how he deals with this situation of the Gilgal. So this va'yira el Yonah ra gedola va'yicharlo. Okay, but for Yonah now accomplished his mission. Yonah was now a successful, right, magid. He had just been makariv the people to do tshuva, and there was a big tshuva movement. Yonah had succeeded, right? But now Yonah was suffering terribly, right? Yonah was suffering in Olam Hazeh. He was bitzar. And he was very upset about it. Okay, so here the Gra explains that this is the nature of coming back in a Gilgal. He says when you're a Gilgal, he says the mazalos are against you. Okay, and this can explain a lot of things that go on in this world about tzaddik Gralo. This is the Ramban uses this concept to explain the whole story with Eov, that when you come back from a Gilgal, you have tikkunim that have to be made from the previous Gilgal, and therefore your initial mazel in this world is very negative. And therefore, even though now Yonah was a tzaddik gamur, now he was a makariv, he was doing gevaldik things, but he was still suffering because he still had to be metakin for the previous Gilgal. Could be still. It could be. It wasn't just a one-time deal. It could be year after year. He has to keep accomplishing it. Huh? He's asking if he was metakin his tafkid, maybe why didn't he die right away and go to Olam Haba? Yeah, you know, it must be that there was other aspects.
Wasn't he already metakin for all the players when he went to Gehenna?
No, that's what we see from it. That's the Yisod. What we see here is that if you had a goal, if you had a mission that you were meant to accomplish in this world, that has to be accomplished. That's the Yisod.
Why did it have to be punished?
Huh?
Why did it have to be punished?
For the first life.
But you got to take somewhere.
There's a limit to how many questions I can answer. I'm saying no, we don't really understand these things. The Yisod is that there's two separate issues. One issue is that you have a mission that you're sent to this world, and that mission has to be accomplished, and if it wasn't accomplished, then you have to come back into Gilgal until that's accomplished. That's the central yisod of this idea of Gilgal. And then there seems to be another realm of schar and onesh of Olam Haba that relates to your meisim in each different gil. Well, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon legabe everything that you did in each of the different gil goals. Yeah. I don't know. There's all kinds of shmuz that go around. I don't know all the details. But stick with what we at least the Gra is revealing to us here. Vayispalel El Hashem Vayomer Ana Hashem Halo Zedvari Ana Yosi Al Admasi Al Kain Kadamti Luvroch Tarshisha Ki Adati Ki Ata Kel Chanan Brachum Erach Afayim Brav Chesed V'Nicham Al Ra. Okay. So now this Pasuk takes a totally different meaning in the right in the Pashup chat. This is when he's complaining that I didn't want to give them Musar because I knew that I would look bad when right. But this is a totally you have to completely switch gears. He says that Yonah has a taina to Hashem because he says that why did I have to come back as a Gilgal? He says that when I was living my first life, I thought that I could just enjoy myself and take it easy, and then at the last minute I would do tshuva. But he says his mistake was that he didn't realize that there's this klal that someone who says echa tava ashuv ein masbigim bi'ano washuv, that a person who does averus l'chadchila thinking that, well, I could always do tshuva later, that Hashem doesn't give them the opportunity to do tshuva. And that's what happened to Yonah, is that he was busy running away to Tarshisha and he was counting on the fact that he would do tshuva later, but by that time it was too late and he couldn't rescind the gzera. Vatashem kachna as nafshi mimeni ki tov mosi mechai. But now he says, but this second Gilgal thing is not pleasant. This second Gilgal, I would rather be dead. I wish I had just stayed up in Shemayim and not come down for the second Gilgal, because the second Gilgal is not pleasant when all the mazalos are against me and I have all this sorrows before I even start, not because of my affairs in this world, but because of the previous life. Vayomer Hashem Haitev Charolach. Not clear exactly what this question is. He says, what are you so here he explains he basically here Hashem explains to him that it's still in your best interest to have a Gilgal. In other words, if you didn't have this opportunity, then you wouldn't ever accomplish your tikkun. So he says that Hashem was explaining to him that even though it's difficult, but you should appreciate the fact that you were given the opportunity of a Gilgal to be metaki. Vayetzo Yonah min ha'ir, vayeshev mikedem la'ir, vayash lusham sukkah, vayeshev tachteh betzel, ad asher yira ma'yeh be'ir. So now he leaves the city. So this, the Gra explains that he saw that he's not shayach to the yishu. He realizes that he's like, his mazel just doesn't fit. He's not part of the regular yishu because he's a Gilgal. He doesn't belong here. And therefore, in the city, he wasn't matzliach in business, whatever it was, he wasn't matzliach because his mazel isn't right. So he goes, he says mikedem is a remez to going back to his roots. He says he goes out of the city and he sits and learns Torah. So he's mamish like a tzaddik who is now poresh from Olam Hazeh. He realizes that he's not going to be successful in Olam Hazeh because the mazel is against him. He goes out to sit in a sukkah outside of the city and to whatchamacallit, and to learn Torah. And here he gives a whole discussion about what a sukkah is, that he says that a sukkah has to be rov tzel and only a miut of shemesh. And you have the girl over there. Come on, let me say it. take away all my punchlines. Okay, so he says that the sukkah has to be rov tzel because the shemesh is the source of the mazalos. He says that the shemesh is like the melech over Olam Hazeh. So a person's normal mazal is lefi the shemesh. So this person who doesn't have a good mazal because he's a Gilgal, so therefore he has to hide from the shemesh, and the tzel of the sukkah protects him and like creates a new space. Like he doesn't fit into Olam Hazeh, into the normal mazel, so he needs to create his own space. He becomes like a poresh and a nistar and sits and learns Torah, and that's how he tries to get away from the negative gzera against him, the negative mazel against him. Vayamen Elokim Tola. I'm sorry. Vayamen Hashem Elokim Kikayon. Vayal Me'al Liona Lios Tzel Al Rosha. So now he gets this this vine that grows up over his head or onto the sukkah. Vatzilo Miraso. Vayizmach Yona Ala Kikayon Simcha Gedola. Okay, so he says that now what goes on is that all of a sudden he gets this special siyata d'shmaya that everything now is pleasant for him, right? He gets nice pleasant shade in Olam Hazeh. So now he thinks, oh, everything now everything's great. Now I can enjoy Olam Hazeh also. So the Gra says that now Yonah was being given a chelek on the cheshbon of his Olam Haba. He says that sometimes when a person is has a bad mazel in Olam Hazeh and he tries to overturn it, that the Gemara brings Meisim with this, with he gives the leg from the Shulchan. I forget exactly the details how the story goes. There's a situation like this where with Tana who davens for Rachamim, and Hashem shows him that if you want, you can take it, but it's going to be coming off of your Schar and Olam Haba. So he says, I think so. So that's what he says. That's this kikayon, was that Hashem now overturned the regular mazel and said, okay, if you really are going to rebel against the gzeira, then I'll give you a siyata d'shmaya, but it's al cheshbon your olam haba. Okay, in Vayamen Elokim Toas Balus Hashachar Lamacharas Vatachas HaKikayon V'Yabish. But then the next day, that Kikayon died, and now Yonah was back to his original situation. Okay. In other words, this was showing that it wasn't that his mazel had really changed. He hadn't really gotten a positive mazel, because that's not shaykh to him in Olam Hazeh. It was just this extra chesed that Hashem was giving him al cheshbon Olam Haba. And now Hashem withdrew that and put him back into his original situation. Okay. Vayomar Hashem, ata chasta al kikayon asher lo amaltabo v'lo gidalto shebin waila haya bin waila ibed. Okay, so this kikayon was just a temporary phase, but it's not really something that you earned. In other words, because in your previous life you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and you thought you could just live it up and enjoy yourself. So now this is the suffering that you brought on yourself. Now this last pasuk, I'm not sure exactly how the Grub wants us to understand this in the context of his whole thing. He says, "Vani lo achus al ninbe ha'ir agdola asher yesh ba harbe mishtem esrei ribo adam asher lo yada ben yamino l'smolo ubehema rabba." Okay, so he says, "Don't you expect me to have rachmanus on this large city of Nineveh that has, it says, 12,000 times 10,000 people?" And all the animals. Okay. So now the Gra goes through a cheshbon of, he says that by Shlomo Melch it says that that one out of six, he says one out of six is people are left to learn Torah and not given the O of Olam Hazeh. So he makes, 1 second. One fifth. It says, "Elof l'cha Shlomo u'matayim l'notrim es pirio." So he says that Shlomo Melch was told to leave one fifth of the people, that they don't have to be osek in the malchus, that they can just learn Torah. So he says that those are the tzaddikim gemurim who are like the Shevet Levi, who are only osek in Torah. So that's the shtem esrei elof, and then he says the other ones are the. Asher lo yada ben yamino l'smol, he says that they don't know the difference between left and right, meaning that usually we say that the Yetzer Hara is on the left side, and the Yetzer Tov, there's what's it called, two kidneys. One is the good advisor, one is the negative. So he says that they've been attacking themselves, that there's no difference between left and right, that they've overcome the Yetzer Hara. So there's 12,000 tzaddikim gemurim, 12,000 times 10,000 tzaddikim gemurim in the world, and shouldn't I be chas on them? Shouldn't I have rachmanus on them? So I'm not sure exactly how this fits in. I think what he's saying is that he's telling Yonah not to question this mahalach of Gilgulim. In other words, he's saying that if I send you on a mission to be machzir people b'tshuva, so don't question the need for that and say that, yeah, but it's too hard for me, I don't want to suffer, that if I give you this mission and you have the ability to be matzir the people b'tshuva, so you have to fulfill that mission, even if it requires your personal suffering through the inyun of Gilgulim. Okay, I'm not sure exactly what he wanted with that last pasuk, but that's how he darshans it. Okay, so that's, let's just sum up a little bit. That's the story. So the main points that we should be focusing on is that we see the idea of the neshama comes down to this world with a purpose, and it's obviously the first priority is not to lose track of that focus and not to, oh, you know what, I'm sorry, I want to add one more point that I didn't mention. The gra, the maybe the most practical, so to speak, aspect of this discussion about Gilgulim, the gra explains, so how if everyone has a mission, and if they have to come back as a Gilgul, it's in order to accomplish this mission. So how do we know that we're not going to blow it a second time? Right? How do we know what our special mission is, that we were sent here as a Gilgul? And there is this discussion that now we're all Gilgulim at the end of the days, whatever it is. How do we know what is the mission that we have to accomplish? And if we don't accomplish it, that is the Yesod. Yeah, I guess from here we see that the Gra is implying that there are future Gilgulim if you don't accomplish it. Anyway, so the Gra says two Yesodos. He says that whatever aspect of your life that you find that you're continually nichshal in, that if there's some Avera that you keep over and over, you keep falling for that same Avera. And he says the other one is that you have a very strong taiva for that Avera. He divides it as two different things. He says then you know that is your Iker mission, and that's what you have to be metakin. And he even says, the reason why it's so hard for you is because it became Hergel from the previous Gilgul. That, like, we have this idea that Kimajavar Avera Vishana, but it becomes Keheter. So he says that passes from Gilgul to Gilgul. Since you messed it up the first time, so now you already have a Netia towards that Avera, and therefore you have to fight extra hard to overcome that, because that really is your whole purpose in this world is to overcome that Nisayon. So when if a person can identify where that Nisayon is, then that's really a very cautious thing that a person has to take out of this to try to reach that Tikkun. Yeah, Mickey. Yeah.
How is a person supposed to know what exactly that is? I mean, like, that's, he's supposed to search it out. Like, I have to do every single layer to find out what my new site is.
No. It's something that happens naturally. No, it's something that you're.
Like, a person may not know.
Great. Then that's not it. No, it would present itself to you. You don't have to change that. It would present itself to you.
Could it be multiple things?
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds like there's, like, from the Gra, it sounds like there's one central mission that each person has.
How do you interpret that Avera as, what mission would it be?
To be Metakin, to overcome that desire, to learn to...
What about in terms of, like, Metakin the entire world? Like, how do you...
No, that was Yonah had this special thing. Yonah was supposed to be the Makari, who was supposed to bring people to do Tshuva. That was his particular mission. That's not everyone's... Not everyone has that particular mission. Each person has their own mission, what they need to accomplish, and sometimes it's just to not be nichshal in a certain other.
By the kevah, like when the body's in the ground for like 3 days and certain states, but don't we say that tzaddik and they don't, like, their bodies remain intact? So, like, it's so that
when
like a cloud for neshama, like when does neshama?
I think in general the concept is that a tzaddik is less attached to the goof anyways. The tzaddik is a much less difficult situation for the neshama to go to where it belongs in Shemayim. Okay, again, I should give lots of disclaimers. We don't really know what we're talking about in any of this stuff. We're just trying to share with you some of the Pirushim, the Gra. Okay, so, but some things to take home with us is that to realize that this Gilgul thing is not just like some far out idea, that it's very mainstream, and that it does have certain practical aspect in the fact that we're trying to figure out what we need to be metakin and to try to finally bring about that tikkun. It also gives us a certain perspective on Yisurin in Olam Hazeh, that sometimes if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't seem to be, you know, tzadik v'ralo, we don't understand why someone's suffering. So sometimes there is this aspect of a tikkun from a previous gilgul that could be going on. That was what was going on with Yonah. Okay.
Yeah.
What?
when he was talking about the tzaddikim, like the 12,000.